There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Nick Rago is here from Tech Radar. Today is a break from tradition, isn't it?
Yes,
not
it is.
Not because you come there in gifts, but because this is all about a not-so-rubbish Kickstarter.
It is, yeah. It's something that I wanted to talk about on the show last week, but didn't get around to. So basically, there is a... I don't want to call it a cafe, basically an eatery called Wild Pita that opened up a couple of years ago in Dubai, and you know, they were doing quite well, and they opened a second branch as well in the Dairy City Center, and then obviously as things go, they unfortunately had to close down, and they said, okay, we're going to close it down for now, we're going to go away for a little bit, discover a few things, and kind of come back at some point. And looks like 2018 is the year to come back. So these are the Payman brothers, and they have an Indiegogo going out, all right, to raise funding to bring Wild Pita back. And essentially, it is a shawarma store. But it's also more than that. It's I think a place, at least when it first opened, it was a place where people could come together as a community and, you know, have like book club meetings or have board game nights and just really just hang out, you know, with good food and good company. And it was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed it, enjoyed visiting the original branch over in Healthcare City. So they're looking to get some money on Indiegogo to get this back off up off the ground. So yeah, I thought it was something interesting to kind of talk about, as you know, how, you know, would people donate to this?
You see, the thing with this is usually rubbish Kickstarters is a look at a crazy outlandish idea that is often amusing and usually quite sad at the same time. So this is a real break from tradition. But what's interesting about this is what you get to do is support a local eatery, which is great. Now, I've heard of the legend of Wild Pita. I've never been there, but people talk about it all the time.
You missed out. Yeah.
Like, it's almost like hallowed tones.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, you know, when Wild Pita first opened, there weren't a lot of eateries that had that kind of vibe, that kind of relaxed atmosphere. Yeah, there were coffee shops, there was Starbucks, everything. But when you walked into there, it was very much a community feel. There was decent food, and it was just a place you could go and hang out with other people. And it just became a meeting spot for weekly events. There were all kinds of things going on. At some point, they also did like a mini comedy night. And the mini, like, a cinema. They turned their restaurant to, like, a little cinema room one time as well. So a lot of cool things that were happening, and it just was an interesting kind of space to be in. And I think having them come back to that is kind of a good place in the community.
Kind of like Dubai's answer to Central Perk.
Anyway, yes.
In a
I missed that place.
Way.
Yeah.
Okay.
And have they said, if successful, where this location might be? Do they think they might go to the same site, or is there, or are they sort of keeping their cards quite close to their chest at this point?
For the moment, they haven't really said what their sort of long term plans are in terms of location or where they're going to be going. I don't necessarily see them going to a shopping mall, because that kind of defeats, you know, where Wild Pita came from to begin with. So I think they'll probably look at a location that has decent foot traffic but is easy for people to get to. I remember when they had the location over in Trade Center, it was easy to just jump on the metro, get there, and I could do my book club every Saturday. It was really, really a good place to be at. So hopefully they'll be at some sort of really friendly location where people just drop by whenever they want for, you know, to meet up with friends and just have a good shawarma.
Okay, so you can invest in a local business, which is a nice idea. Not that we're trying to tell people to do this, but what I like is what you're going to get at next, I have a feeling, is that if you invest a certain amount of money, you get a dish named after you. I mean, it's a ignominious offer, I suppose, in some ways, but you did recommend the Tim Tahini wrap.
I love that.
I'm not sure anybody'd go for that.
No, I love the name. I think, you know, if the Wild Pita guys are listening, please put the Timmy Tahini wrap on your menu.
What about a Nick Rago sandwich, or is that something else entirely?
That's completely different.
Okay, so that might work. An NLT sandwich, maybe. NLT shawarma.
An NLT BLT.
Exactly. So there's kind of a ring to that. What would be in an NLT? Avocado, for sure.
Something nutty for the N, yeah?
Yeah, lettuce, I guess, maybe for the L. But yeah, I would quite like it to have halloumi in it. Or feta.
Yeah.
I'm not fussy, as
cheesy,
long as it's cheese.
Just like NLT.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything about this? Because one of the things is, now what you've got are the kind of artisan shawarmas everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, there was a time not that long ago when you could get a shawarma or a falafel sandwich for a couple of dirhams.
Yes.
It's changed.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
I mean, I still remember at one particular hotel, there was a restaurant that was doing shawarmas right there by the lobby, and it was actually a duck shawarma for, I think, 65 or 85 dirhams. And I said, you know what? I'm good. I'm just going to take a photo for Instagram. I'm good. I'm just going to walk away really, really carefully.
Pretend you had one.
Pretend, yeah. But just smell it and just go with that. That would be the thing.
85 dirham.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was not cheap. So
yeah, it'd have to be pretty special for
you
that.
Are obsessed with duck as well. I'm surprised you weren't tempted.
That's true. I do love me some good duck, but even I know where to draw the line. I think if I tossed in a couple more dirhams, I would probably just go for a nice Peking duck somewhere, but that's a different story. But yeah, so this is the Wild Peter story. If you want more information, go to wildpeter.com. They're looking for $50,000 to make the dream happen. They have a month left of funding. So far, they've raised $5,200. So not too bad, but yeah, if you want to hear more about the story, go to wildpeter.com and check them out.
Not such a rubbish Kickstarter, I think. I wanted to ask you, before we go to the news, you brought us in a gadget last week. You'd stolen it, I think, from the busman.
I did.
I don't know if he noticed, but I'm sure that'll come out. But the new Samsung, the S9, you see the billboards everywhere. Everyone's mm-hmm. talking about it. How's he getting on with it? How are you getting on with it?
He's enjoying it. I have yet to pry it away from his fingers, so he's still holding on to it. He did order the lilac version now, so it looks really, really nice. I think he had the blue version before or one other colors, but he has a lilac one and it looks so good. But he is enjoying it. It's a very, you know, super zippy phone. There was a press release that went out this week that they've now introduced a Mickey Mouse as the emoji on the phone. So you can basically become Mickey Mouse on the phone, which is hilarious.
I would love to see Tim as Mickey Mouse.
So I think I need to bring the phone in for next week and see what Tim looks like as Mickey
Mouse.
You
can be Mickey and I'll be Minnie.
Well, thanks very much. I quite like the idea of the Animoji thing. I think that's going to take off. I don't know how good it is on this. I think it's kind of early days, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's Samsung's version of the Animoji. So Animoji is what you have in the iPhone 10, and Samsung's version is the AR emoji. But it is still a kind of cool gimmick, and when you kind of scan yourself and you become the emoji and you get all these different images you can send to people on WhatsApp and other messaging services, it is really hilarious to get people's reactions, because I sent some of the ones that featured me and people were just like, did you just send a photo of yourself? Like, what's going on? What are you doing? So it's quite interesting to see what the reaction is like.
It's the way we communicate now. It's going to change the world. The Animoji, the AR emoji, whatever it is. We're going to be talking about we're talking HTC in a moment. YouTube, I didn't go to the opening of this earlier in the week, but this is a really interesting thing, I think. YouTube Spaces now open in Dubai. Facebook, we need to discuss to get to the bottom of the murky world of what Cambridge Analytica have actually done. Huawei, and then Apple holding an event at the end of the month. That and more. If you have a question for Nick, get in touch. Drive Live Talks Technology. Nick Rago's here from Tech Radar.
Drive Live Talks Technology.
Let's get to the topics. Just a note, by the way, if you have a question for Nick, get in touch. We really want to see him stumped at some point. It's just not happened so far, but it will soon, we hope. 4001 via the free app. Call him on 423 1010. If there's something that you want to know about your smartphone technology, perhaps a computer that's failing, you want to know about, I don't know, what else? Motherboards?
Motherboards, daughter boards. That's the thing. A daughter board is a thing, by the way. I'm not just making it up.
A daughter board is a thing?
It's a thing, yes. Look it up.
What's a daughter board?
Look it up.
Don't be all mysterious. Don't go all coy. I'm looking that up now. Look, the first thing is, let's start with HTC. What's this?
Yeah, so the HTC Vive Pro, I did have a chance to check it out a couple of weeks ago, but now they've finally said, okay, we are ready to reveal what the pricing and availability will be like. So the HTC Vive Pro is basically an updated headset from the original Vive. It's got a sort of high resolution for the panel, so you have a much more smoother VR experience when you're using it. Right. So they're pricing the headset, get this, at $799, and this is just the headset, no additional hardware included. So it's clearly targeted at people who already have existing Vive hardware and want to upgrade the headset for, you know, like I said, a much more smoother experience. However, with the launch of the Vive Pro at $799, they are going to be reducing the original Vive pricing by $100, which is not bad. It's going to be retailing for $499. So it's interesting, but I don't know anyone who's going to be paying $799 for just a headset. I think they really need to come up with some sort of price strategy where they would have the Vive Pro headset and the controllers and the lighthouses and everything else you need to set it up, because as a headset alone, it's really quite expensive.
Well, that's pretty much 3,000 dirhams. It's slightly under. That's a lot of money.
It is, yeah. And considering you can buy the original Vive with all the, you know, bells and whistles for half that price, what's kind of, you know, what are people going to be looking at the Vive Pro to say, okay, yeah, I really want to be buying that one over the original Vive?
Yeah, what makes it so twice as good?
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
Well, I mean, mind you, when you look at the original Vive and you experience it, then you do the Vive Pro, the difference is immediate, because the high resolution essentially lets you have a much more smoother experience in VR. And I think with the original Vive, if you squint just a little bit, you can see what's called like a screen door effect in the Vive, where you can see where the pixels line up. So really it's kind of distracting. Mm. Whereas on the Vive Pro, because the individual panels are of a high resolution, it's like butter smooth. It really, really is like going to a whole new universe.
Okay. What's the name of the Samsung thing that you can slip your phone into, the Samsung goggle thing?
Gear VR.
Yeah. They're on for about 70 dirhams at the moment. Have you seen those?
Really?
Yeah. You can pick one of those up. It fits an S7 or I don't think you fit an S8 in it. I'm not sure. But they were going for about 70 dirhams the other day. I thought, that's got to be worth the money, isn't it? What were they, 400, 500?
When they first came out. Because at the time, it was very much banking on people who want to, you know, you have a VR experience from the comfort of their mobile phone, but don't necessarily want to bother with getting, you know, trackers and things like that. You just want a simple standing VR experience. So stuff like Google Cardboard, all of these are standing VR experiences where they work seamlessly with your phone. But yeah, 70 dirhams for it now is that's a crazy price.
I was very tempted. Let me describe something to you. A circuit board that plugs into and extends the circuitry of another circuit board. What am I talking about?
I'm talking about a daughter board.
A daughter board. I'd never heard of that before.
I thought Nick was making it up to confuse me, to be perfectly honest.
I just had a feeling. But there you are, he wasn't. Question for you. My computer's wireless network adapter has disappeared, so I can't connect to a wireless network anymore. Amar says, what can I do?
Hey, Amar, thanks for texting in. Usually, if you have a problem like that, it basically means that there has been some sort of driver update to your wireless adapter, which is causing some sort of problem, and therefore you can't see the Wi-Fi on your computer. So if you're using, I'm assuming you're using Windows, just right-click on your My Computer or this PC on your desktop and choose Manage. Once you're in there should be a, on the left-hand side, Device Manager. Click on that. You will see a category called Network Adapters. Expand that, and you should see some sort of description for a wireless adapter. If you right-click that, there should be an option for Rollback Driver. Click that and see if that works. If not, you can right-click and say Remove, and the next time you reboot your computer will see a Wi-Fi card again, and try and install default drivers and fix up your Wi-Fi.
Good luck, Amar.
All right, Amar.
Nick lost me in the first sentence. But
if I could fit that in a text message, I would, but yeah.
Good luck, Amar. Okay, can we come back to one of the topics, Nick? This one is about the YouTube space finally opened here in Dubai. We've seen these around the world, but this is the first time it's come to Dubai. And just maybe explain to people what this space is, because it looks cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's functional.
Yeah, it's Google's way of encouraging people who are on YouTube to get out and create more content. So what the YouTube space is, it's basically a physical location where you can go, you can use some of the hardware that they have, so whether it's cameras, green screens, or just even backdrops, things like that, to film your own content for YouTube. It's here in Dubai Studio City, so not too far from us. The only thing that you kind of have to make note for this is, in order to really properly get sort of full use of the YouTube space, you need to have a minimum of 10,000 YouTube subscribers, which is quite a lot to ask for. I don't think I know anyone who's got that many, apart from obviously our friends over at IGN at least. But yeah, for regular people, I think if you get 1,000 subscribers, you get some sort of benefits and around the YouTube space. But if you've got 10,000 or more, you can use a lot of the equipment. You can book in certain spaces to do larger video editing and things like that. There are machines available where you can take your footage, your film, and edit it on the fly. So it is a very good space for people who are dedicated with making a lot of content and kind of want to get that subscriber count up and increasing. So it is a great space where you can kind of go and just check out what Google has in store. They do have a couple of training workshops as well. So if you want to know how to best create content for YouTube and market it and possibly monetize it as well, they do have some classes you can book some spaces for and find out how you can use YouTube in a more effective manner.
And you get free food.
Exactly, because it's a Google space.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That was the bit that stood out to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's surprising me that you went for that NLT. Can you just book a space and use it? It's a cool looking space, very colourful and all of that. But could you just phone up and say, can I book an hour and pay?
Yeah, there are some sort of things you have to bear in mind for that. So the best thing to do is contact the space directly. Just give them a ring and say what you want to be doing. But yeah, if you've got less than 10,000 subscribers, you still can access the space. I mean, anyone can. But if you want to use some of the more high-tech equipment, then you will need to have more subscribers to use it. Or you can come to some sort of paid arrangement with them as well.
Right, my son wants to be a YouTuber. That's his chosen profession.
I can't believe that's a thing now, that kids, like, if you ask kids, what do you want to be? And they say, I want to be a YouTuber when I grow up, or a vlogger.
I would say lots of people say that now.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
It's how they have changed.
Yeah. Oh, back in the day, Nick. Do you remember?
Back in the day.
When we were young. I did say to him the other day, have you put anything up there? No, I haven't yet. So what are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting for the right time, the right stuff. And I'm thinking, no, you better just get on with it.
No,
so
I've got four videos pending that I need to edit this week, which is really going to be a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. What are they about?
Oh, well, it's my series called Chocolate Snob, where my friend Tom
I've
and I...
I've seen a couple of those.
We taste test chocolates, and I've made him have some doozies this weekend. So it's we basically shot four episodes worth in one day, and that's a lot of chocolate to be eating at 10 in the morning. And then I went to lunch at my parents' house, and my mom's like, why aren't you eating well? I'm like, oh, I'm just not hungry. Had a heavy breakfast. Off, like, eight different flavors of Kit Kat.
So you're a YouTuber then, aren't
you? I love YouTube. It's good fun.
Drive Live Talks Tech Today. Nick Ragos here with
us. Drive Live Talks Technology.
And it is... is on to the massive Facebook scandal that everyone has been talking about. Getting to the bottom of this and understanding exactly what's happened is the issue. But essentially, it seems like Facebook is being made a scapegoat for quarrelsome behaviour.
Yes, and people are obviously, they're doing a thing online where it's hashtag delete Facebook.
Mm.
But the question, I mean, obviously the heart of the matter is that essentially there was a lot of data that was illegally taken from people that were filling in a survey and then was sort of given away to third parties to do as they like and you know, try and play with targeting ads for the US election and all kinds of, you know, really, really questionable things, all right? Mm. But what I'm getting into is that there's this whole online cry with trying to get rid of Facebook. People are saying, delete Facebook, delete your account, and stop using Facebook, which is all well and good, all right? But bear in mind that any data that's taken from you is already in people's possessions. It's already in Facebook's possession, already in third-party possession. So even if you delete your Facebook data now, there's nothing stopping them from using the data they already own to do whatever they like with it.
Okay.
That's the question I want to ask. Like, why are people getting so... people know that using platforms like this, their data is not private. Like, everything, the service sees everything you send, everything you post, everything is there. It's the internet. It's on someone's got an archive somewhere in a server farm in some part of the world as a backup. So everything you share on a network as big as Facebook is, even if you think it's private, it's not. So people who are throwing their arms up in the air now and saying like, oh, you know, I'm no longer going to use Facebook, I'm going to delete everything, it's going to have zero effect because Facebook as a company is not, people aren't going to be, you know, falling away from Facebook in the millions and the billions. They're going to keep using it because it's become part and parcel of their lives. It's become the platform that people use to do business. People, you know, people use it to stay in touch or communicate, their messaging apps and things like that. So it's not going to go away anytime soon. What needs to happen is that Mark Zuckerberg needs to take these things into his own hands and stand accountable for everything. I think that's kind of where people are having an argument about.
Let's hope he's listening to that. I mean, I'm not so sure that's the case. I mean, it is too late. The horse has bolted here, surely, NLT.
Well, the thing is that I find uncomfortable when listening to this was, okay, yeah, on the one hand, you sign up to something like Facebook or anything else and you tick this agreement that most people don't bother to read thoroughly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What my concern becomes then, though, is what they were saying is anyone on your friends list could accept a different app, which was then able to mine your data that you had no control over whatsoever. Yeah. And I think that's what's worrying. Facebook really should be thinking, it's one thing for you to agree to Facebook to take this data or to for you to be part of that service. Don't forget, Facebook is a free service. You're not paying to use it.
Yeah.
You're getting to use it for free. So they have to make money somehow. So, you know, there are different ways for them to do that. But I think if someone that you know and are connected to on Facebook can give access to lots of your so-called private information, that's where the problem is.
Yeah, because I think also, like, when I use or services or whatever that say log in with Facebook, I log in with Facebook, but then I look at what credentials it's asking for. Whether it's asking for just an email address, or that's fine. If it's asking for my name, my email address, my location, my date of birth, then I'm like, okay. And there was one, I can't remember the service I was using. I think it was just like a social aggregator or something. It basically is asking to look at my my newsfeed, my email address, my date of birth, my hometown location, my full name, and also look at my friends lists and pages. I was just asking for all this kind of information that I didn't think was necessary to use their service. So I immediately backed out of that and I said, no, I don't need to use your service because you're asking for all this information. If you just want an email address, that's fine. But anything above and beyond that, you need to give me concrete reasons why you're asking for it.
Okay, but who really looks into that? When you download a new app for your phone, do you ever think, well, I have to give permission to you to use my camera, to use the microphone, to...
I had a banking app and I downloaded it and it asked for permission for my camera. And then I thought to myself, okay, it's asking for that because they want you to take a photo of a check or something. So, you know, to verify you can upload that. That's fine. Yeah. But then it was asking to make and receive phone calls and use my microphone. And then I thought, okay, the phone call maybe would be to, so from the app you can call for a call center or customer service. Okay, fine. But then why would you need access to the microphone?
Well, why would you?
That's what I'm trying to think. Because if you just need access to the call facility, that's fine. But if you need access to standalone microphone, what are you doing that you need microphone access? It doesn't, you know, I'm not an Android developer, so maybe there's something within the app that requires the access. But I'm just trying to think, as a regular consumer, I can rationalize why you need my camera, why you need my phone access, but why would you need microphone?
How much do people rationalize that? I mean, that's how many true. People yeah. actually
look a lot at of people. I've seen people before my eyes download an app and just go accept, 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 and I'm like, you are you even reading? Are you looking at if your app is asking for like contact access? If it's asking to upload something somewhere, people need to realize when they're signing up for services, when they're downloading apps, they need to be a little bit more cautious and not just blindly agree or sign up to everything. That's when stuff like this happens.
Okay, it's a very hard one. But the problem with all of the Cambridge Analytica scandal, the Facebook scandal, at the moment is it's all about manipulation, and that's the point.
It is,
and
yeah.
manipulation
yeah.
of thought. So we know that two wars in the future, water is going to be one of them, and there's also going to be a war for data. So this is it's a welcome wake-up call, surely.
It is.
Whether anything comes of this is a different matter.
You just have to wait and see. I think this is one of many sort of big data scandals we're going to be seeing, not just from Facebook, from other services, even from other companies that we trust our data with. There's no such thing as 100% security. Unless you're living, you know, in a rock somewhere in a bunker with no access to the outside world, that's just basically the end story. There's no other way you can be sort of private.
That feels like my life. Whenever somebody says login with Facebook, I always think, I wish I could remember the login.
Yeah. What's my password again? Like 123 Tim? Yeah.
I don't have any idea what it is. All right, two things very quickly. Somebody texts in and says, not about the data, it's about supporting Facebook. They advertise on it. Very fair point. Why do computers become slow?
Too much data on it. Try and clean out some of your temporary files. It should help speed things up.
Yeah, okay. It's not just, I mean, there are perhaps some manufacturers that want you to upgrade, but I'm not sure it's fair to say it's all of them. Huawei, the brand we love to pronounce. Did I get that right? Is it Huawei?
I'm going to wait for the text lines to come flooding in.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Nova 3e is out today.
I wanted to bring this in today. What's interesting about it is it has a notch like the iPhone X. And this is a terrible and scary trend that's going to be coming to Android phones, because I saw them in Barcelona, and there were at least six phones there with an Android notch. And I was thinking to myself, we don't need this. Why? Why? Who asked for this?
Well, it's so you can have the better sound experience, isn't it? And camera experience.
Yeah,
that,
no.
Isn't that? You don't like that?
No.
Not bothered?
No. Okay. Give you my full screen, my normal screen. But yeah, so they have launched the Nova 3e. And it's basically going to be, sort of front runner peak to the Huawei P20, which is their next big, you know, fantastic phone with a 40 megapixel per camera and all kinds of wonderful things. But this is sort of like an entry level one. It does have a resolution of 1080 by 2280. It's got an 18.7 by 9 screen ratio, 5.84 screens. Like I said, it's got the little notch. It's got an octa-core processor. It's a pretty good phone. And it's kind of like a front runner for what the P20 is going to be looking like in a couple of weeks as well. So it's a phone to look out for if you're looking for something that's sort of like in the middle level range, because it's going to be retailing for 1,199 dirhams, which is not bad.
That's not a bad price at all.
So yeah, it's a phone to definitely get your hands on and have a look at.
Okay, so that's that. You've got 20 seconds on this. We're going to see you after Apple hold their event at the end. Isn't it the 27th, isn't it?
27th,
So we'll see you the day after that next week, hopefully. What's going to come out? What's your prediction?
Well, they're holding an education event, and what's interesting about the invite is it's handwritten. So there's, you know, maybe there's rumors of a new iPad geared towards students and teachers, maybe a new Apple Pencil or something that's dedicated to the educational segment, because people, you know, love using iPads in the classrooms. I think both students and teachers really, really benefit from that. And I think it's going to be an interesting move for Apple. I don't think we'll see anything in the iPhone or the macOS spectrum, but definitely something on the education, either in terms of pricing or specific products that are geared towards the educational sector.
That is Drive Live Talks Tech Today. You can find Nick Rago at techradar.com. You can also find him in shawarma shops near you. Nice to see you, Nick.
Nice to.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.